Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 104, Freeing Our Mind.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, I've just come back from a fabulous trip to the UK that worked out brilliantly. I was a little bit concerned about all the rules and regulations, but I did everything that was required of me, enjoyed meeting up with my family and friends after my social isolation, being with my friend during it. And I then went on and did a wonderful workshop in Hawkwood, which is in Stroud in Gloucestershire. And my friend and I were driving there and we drove past Stonehenge and I was in tears. It was a sense of coming home, not only to my homeland, but also to the richness of a sacred site, a richness of history, true history. And that sense of the stones marking the passage of time, and that have many different ways we've looked at them and discovered them. And just standing there tall on the Salisbury Plain just made my heart sing. And then I went on to Glastonbury, another of my favorite places. And as I'm driving into Glastonbury, I'm seeing the great tower, the hill, or the, yes, it is a hill with a small tower on the top of it, which is an interdimensional portal on the top. And when you see it from afar, again, that sense of something that is ancient, something that has been there for humans for thousands of years and exists for us to find ourselves, to remember who we are. There is indeed a beautiful three-dimensional labyrinth on the tour itself when you climb it. I didn't have time to climb it this time, but I watched other people climb and experience that letting go that occurs when you start at the bottom of a hill, pass up through all the chakras, and you experience yourself coming home as you reach the top. But of course, that's only half the journey. It's like the full moon today. The full moon is a representation of that celebration. We made it! But that's only half of the moon cycle. And there's the waning moon where we go down inside this hill, inside this tour, and we find those parts of ourselves that we are truly celebrating. What did we learn? How did we grow? What is it that has enriched us because of our experiences? And I suggest if you don't do this, it's a wonderful thing to do every month, to really be aligned to the celebrations of your life, whether it's just for this month or the last 6 months. Because sometimes we forget to celebrate. We're on to the next thing, or we're worrying about the future. That celebration is a time of harvest festival, a time of eating the fruits of our endeavors. So as you're listening to me, just to be reminding yourself is, what am I celebrating? Whether you're in the springtime because you're in the southern hemisphere, or because you're in the fall and the autumn here in the northern hemisphere. It's a wonderful time to remember to celebrate ourselves and to celebrate the courage it's taken to get to where we are. Sometimes our greatest soul endeavors are ones which were challenges for us, but us individually. Nobody else maybe has seen it as a challenge. So asking ourselves, what are those aspects, or what are three things that you would be proud about if you passed over today, if you died today, what would be the three things you said, I did it? And you don't need to pass over to be able to say that. It's a wonderful way of just keeping your family. Maybe every month you come together as a family and you say, what are we celebrating this month? So I was celebrating being back in the UK, being back in the beautiful rolling hills of England. And I didn't get the chance to go to Wales and Scotland, but it continues into these wonderful countries, including Ireland, which I love as well, that make up my homeland. And the idea that these hills, these fields have been there, these hedgerows have been there for thousands of years, these small groups of trees. And it's that honoring of the land, it's the honoring of the cycles that frees our mind. This is why I wanted to talk about this today. Our minds are often lost in, as I say, the past, the future, what am I going to do, what's going to happen? But when we watch the cycles, as we've done during this podcast, the cycles of the moon, the cycles of seasons, the cycles of just our day, watching the sunrise, the sunset, we recognize that those cycles are within us. And that sometimes we worry, if I may say, unnecessarily, because once we're in the flow, we know that we will go through times of great creativity and times of having to let things go. And it's that that frees our mind up from all the thinking, because this is going to happen, the seasons of our life. And then I was privileged to meet up with some wonderful women, they were all women in this group, who had all traveled from around the UK to be with me. And we had been sending many emails over the last few weeks saying, I'm coming, you know, are you okay? Because the restrictions, the rules around COVID were changing literally almost hourly from different parts of the country. And yet their determination to live in the freedom of their what they could do, again, some couldn't travel, but to be able to say, this matters to me. This really matters to me to come. And there were others who couldn't make that journey. And again, they listened to what matters for them. But to be amongst people physically in a lovely center where we were looked after so well with by the staff of Hawkwood, I realized how important that personal connection is. Yes, that we had hugs. Yes, we had abilities to be able to share. But most of all, the sharing was around the laughter, the tears, the stories. And you can't do that on a Zoom as easily. And there's that physical presence, that enjoyment of eating together, of being able to be out in nature together, to sitting together, to listening together. It's something that is so rich that I hope that each of you is getting the chance to do this, whether it's in a very small group or in a larger group, again, honoring the restrictions that you're living with. Because this is what it means to be human. And as I was listening to stories being told, stories that were sometimes very personal, but also a little bit self-effacing, when we were laughing at ourselves, because when we laugh at ourselves, people often laugh with us because they can see exactly what they're going through is what we're going through and vice versa. That ability to have that type of exchange where it's almost that words aren't so necessary. It's in the eyes, it's in the mouth, it's in the laughter, it's in the gestures. We need that. We need those connections that are so unique to our humanness. So that enriched my soul, and to hear people's stories and to sit with people and to, as I say, eat, even if we were social distancing, just to be amongst food, amongst those aspects of what makes us human, what makes us a society, what makes us come together. And as I was listening to these wonderful women, all of whom were, I will say, slightly more creative than I am, my creativity comes through my talking, my writing, but they were talking about their recipes, their cooking, the way in which their emotions get caught up in their cooking, their sewing, their gardening. And I thought, wow, this is how we live. These aspects of creativity are essential for our soul. And many of them were talking about how they were sharing recipes or sharing how to do a certain cooking and how they felt for certain cooking and or how they were sewing together and creating uniforms for first line workers. And I thought, this isn't just, oh, let's get together and make a mask and make masks or make uniforms. This is what makes us. This is quilting. This is when I watch the great quilts or the great flags being made. It's about how do we come together. I remember beautiful tiles being made, and again, it wasn't necessarily that the artists were that you were an artist, but we created tiles and we put them in our hospital with, for the children, so they could see all the different images of how children and parents had come through a child's illness. We need to be doing more of this, and we need to be doing it maybe less for COVID. We need to do it because it serves our hearts. It serves our soul to come together. How do we contribute to our community, lifting spirits in a joyful way? That's our future. And I hope that you will find ways of doing that in ways that we might be isolated, but we can still sew or we can still knit. And together we can send our knitting or sewing in together and create something beautiful. Those times are so essential, and there's something so magical about the creativity with the imagination, the free imagination that frees our mind to what is it you want to put on your square of sewing or in your recipe or on your tile. It's not about necessarily following a pattern. It's being creatively free to express ourselves. And I'm encouraging any of you, whether it's a song, a poem, a dance, how do we interface across the world? Because your song touches me, your dance, your music. And if we can get together to do that, all the better. Because it's about not following someone else's lead. It's following that from within ourselves and then bringing our uniqueness together. This is our future. Unity through the acceptance of diversity. So let us bring our diversities together. And so I was enriched by this experience, and I thank everybody who joined me there, and I have future events. We were working with opening the portals of the heart, recognizing that portals, which are doorways, exist in so many of areas of our life, and that they lead us into other dimensions, other parts of ourselves. We can call them those different words. But they're not something you necessarily need to plan. How am I going to do this? These doorways are occurring every minute in our life. We breathe in 18 times a minute. We breathe out 18 times a minute. And a doorway is not just a door which you pass through into another room. When we did the meditation where we had the bridge between the doors, this is the truth of a true doorway. There is an in, there is a passage or a waiting time, and there's an out. And it's that ability to be in that passageway, to be on the bridge, to be in that nothing space is the most powerful place to be. So I now just want to go on and talk about how we free our mind almost every minute. And it's a three-way process. Now, many of you are passing or following my three-day process for the new moon or around your period. You can do this if you're a man or woman. You can take the new moon as the 3 days of the dark moon. And those three phases are what happens in our breath. Okay, so we have the out breath. Excuse me, we have the first day of the dark moon, which is this time when we release, which I would say is the same time as our out breath. Right? Breathing out is not just about exchange of breath or oxygen or carbon dioxide. It's about letting go. And I've recognized in myself, and I've recognized in all you wonderful people I've met and those I met at these last few days, is how COVID, how the virus, the last 6 months, has in many ways locked us down from so many things we thought we needed to do or we thought we had to do, and put us in a place of saying, what is essentially important to me? And what I heard from many of these wonderful people on my workshop, and I've heard otherwise, many times we're locked down with family or even partners or alone or with our pets. And we recognize actually, what is essential to me in my relationship? And for many who maybe have been locked down with a few people, honesty has become a feature. What frees our mind is honest communication, not allowing things to fester, not allowing things to continue in a way that it just weighs us down. So I'm hearing that a lot of us have found an honesty during this time. And through the honesty, things change. When we don't share what we feel, they don't change. And at the same time, when we share in an honest way, we're letting go of expectations. We're not saying, this needs to happen for me to actually feel that you love me. It's saying, I'm going to be honest. This is what I need in this relationship. Can you meet these needs? It's a letting go of expectations, letting go of judgments, but also letting go of the deep rumbling, maybe resentments, rejections. Oh, no, nobody will ever listen to me, or this is the way. We need to free our minds, our hearts, our souls of all this old patterning that is holding us back from being able to literally enter that place of nothingness. You see, if we keep carrying those same beliefs, even when we go to that great cookie shop with all the opportunities, we'll only look for the same situation, the same cookie, the chocolate chip cookie. So when we say to ourselves, why does this keep happening to me? This is a pattern of mine. That's when we need to say, whoops, that's interesting. I am not freeing myself of this pattern because I actually hold on to it as a means of defining myself. So being honest frees us, but it also says, if I'm honest and things change, I can no longer say, this is what defines me. In other words, maybe you're having a different relationship with your children. Maybe you're having a different relationship with your friends. But when we say, I want an honest relationship, we're also saying, I want one that's authentic. I want one where the roles may change. And can I cope with having a different type of relationship with someone else? Is this making sense? So what will free our mind is the willingness to accept, not the fact that, oh, well, I'll get rid of something, but that we're getting free to have different experiences. This is a time of experience and freedom. Why do we hold on to old patterns, old beliefs, old relationships? Because we're scared that if we let go of those, there's not going to be anything else. Maybe I won't have a job. Maybe I won't have a marriage. Maybe I won't. Well, that's a possibility. But is it better to be in a relationship that's authentic, real, and honest and loving? Or is it better to hold on to something that may not be nurturing us, not be pleasurable, but at least I have it? And this is very relevant on a Libra and full moon. Libra has a tendency to hold on to things longer than need be, just to have a relationship. So I'm suggesting to us all, having that courage to say, I'm willing to let go of every identity, every way in which I interact with people in order to create new relationships, new types of relationships. That's that outbreath, that first day. That makes sense? And it may be you're looking at your work with the same way. Some have been unfortunately made redundant, but it's also giving opportunity to say, okay, maybe that job was defining me in a way that wasn't true to me. Maybe I wasn't enjoying it. And you might say, well, jobs aren't to be enjoyed. They are, because a job isn't a job. Yes, it makes money, but it actually is there for us to find ourselves. So in our jobs, there should always be that part of us that says, what is the new me that I'm discovering in this job? How am I learning? How am I growing? Not what am I doing for other people? So when we free our mind, we free ourselves from roles and rules by which we've been living our life. This is my service. That's a rule I have. I have to serve people. I have to take care of them. I have to be responsible for them. Maybe that feels like a burden now. Maybe that doesn't sound like fun anymore. And then you say, well, we're not supposed to have fun. Okay, there's another belief system you have. So are we living in a world where we have a freedom to make different choices? So on this out-breath, on this first day, it's not we're letting go of everything never to take it up again, but we let go enough to say, can I be in the center of my being and recognize that there is choice for me? So we could say out breath, hold your breath out, breathe in with a new idea. That would be a breath. Out breath, hold your breath out, breathe in. And when we breathe in again, we may just breathe in the same old energy. Nothing wrong with that. But it's that ability to A, let go, and B, be in the center of our being, that when we say that, we go, oh my God, look at the choices I have. Look at the opportunities I have. And that's often scary, isn't it? We can just say, I'd love all those choices, but look, look, I have all these things to do. So I'm challenging us all to just have that courage to breathe out, hold our breath out, and breathe in. Even if you say, well, I don't know what's different. In that holding the breath out, in your body, staying in your body, your energy is experiencing these unlimited possibilities. And that is the cycle that I'm asking us to look at, whether it's your three-day cycle just once a month or every breath. Or if you want, you can do this, you know, have a little timer and say every hour, I breathe out. I come back to my center. And then I breathe in again and off I go again. So this pattern of three, this trinity, so important. Now, what helps us to be in the center? What helps us to be in the center is love. And we've worked with this before to say, what is it that I can do or think of or see in my mind's eye that can bring me back into my center just in a second? And I described how that was for me looking into the eye of a dolphin. For someone else, it may be looking at a beautiful flower, a sunset, a sunrise, being with children, grandchildren. But there's a moment I would like you to experience is what brings you to that place where when I look in the eye of the dolphin, in my mind's eye, everything that keeps me separate dissolves away because I am seen, I'm known, and I'm loved. It's as if the dolphin looks at me and says, why would you be working hard to be any more than what you are now? And I want to say that to each and every one of you. We do not have to work hard or struggle to be more than we are now. Being who we are now is a fullness. If I wish to express something from that fullness, fantastic. But I'm not doing it because it's going to make me a better person. It's not going to make me more loved. This may be a new concept for some of you. What would it be like knowing that you were fully loved just as you are? What would you do? What would you want to breathe in? How would you want to express yourself? And you would, don't worry. But the expression would come not from an emptiness, not from a sense of neediness, not from a sense of needing validity. You see, that's unfortunately where our mind goes. And I know that if we went deeply into some of the reasons that we do things, there will be, I don't deserve better, or life's a struggle, or I need validity and approval for what I do. And these were old paradigms. Paradigms often, unfortunately, related to religion. You've got to feel guilty. You're never good enough. You've got to be a martyr. You've got to be a victim. You've got to be... These were all old solar plexus energies that we've carried, that you can never, ever reach nirvana. You can never, ever reach oneness with your God because you're a guilty, martyred, victim person. And it's not true. It's not true. The kingdom of God, the cosmic energy, the divine feminine, whatever we want, is right here now. It's us. It's living in us. It doesn't need to be improved. It needs to be expressed. And so I'm not suggesting you don't do, we're back to that word, but you're not inspired to do something, but you're doing it from a sense of joy. You're doing it from a sense of, this is what I love doing, not from a sense of need or a sense of got to. So here's again the three steps. As we empty, again, I'm not suggesting you do it on every breath. It's too much energy just at the moment. But as we empty, you could do this at the end of a day. All right. So as you empty at the end of the day, say, what am I celebrating? What have I learned? What am I letting go of? All right. Letting go of the roles I've carried, the rules I've carried about my relationship with other people, the belief I need to do that. Where are the needs? Where are the shoulds? If it helps you, as we do in the three-day ritual, you could take a glass of water, put your hands around the water, pour the water onto the earth with all those thoughts, those feelings that you have, you carry for so long. Forgiving, letting go. We all have different words for this. What do I want to let go of? What do I not want to carry into my night sleep? I forgive, I ask for forgiveness. I mean, that's what prayers should be about, not the future. They should be, help me to clear everything that no longer serves me. And then when we go to bed, we're saying, let me connect to all that I am. That's why we sleep. We sleep not to clear, but we sleep to connect, reconnect. Our sleep state is exactly the same as that out breath I'm describing, holding your breath out, excuse me, which is exactly the same as the second day of the dark moon. I'm trying to give you a lot of different analogies. It's that being in the void, which is full of possibilities, looking in the eye of my dolphin. I hope you have something you can just bring to your mind that says, when I'm there, when I have that image, when I have that feeling, touching someone's hand, hearing them talk to you, I'm totally present. And it's being present is not about being empty. It's being full of choice. If I'm no longer running, if I'm no longer needing to fulfill anything, I have freedom. And then when you wake up in the morning, and I'm using that analogy, you've emptied before you went to sleep, you've slept and connected. And then when you get up in the morning, you're inspired with new ideas. Oh, I'm going to go and do this. But those new ideas are not coming from a sense of I've got to, I should. But they're coming from, that could be fun. Or that could be inspiring. Or that could be a challenge. It's fine. It can be challenging. But it's not from a place of should, must, or even against something. In other words, I'm going to do that against someone. If you're doing something against it, you're still carrying the pain of what it is you're against. I'm against getting sick, against getting... Don't do something against that. Do it for it. I'm going to take some vitamins because I'm going to feel better when I take them. I'm going to go for a run because I just love running and it makes me feel alive. Not, oh, I should run because otherwise I'll get sick. It's never a good reason. So I hope I've given you a guidance. I suggest you try this before you go to bed at night. Then you have that three parts of that. Or you can do it every hour. I let go of all my expectations. I breathe out. I hold my breath out. Then I breathe in. And if you're really clever, you do it 18 times a minute with your breath. But recognize that's why we have the breath. We have the breath to be able to breathe out, hold, breathe in. All right. Now, my final piece is, I was talking a few episodes ago about other energies maybe taking hold of our minds. And we can call them possessions, attachments. They are fourth dimensional energies. I talked about them sometimes being reptilian energies, but they are also thought forms that we've carried sometimes from other lives. And those thought forms may be belonging to someone else. In other words, I mentioned about making a contract with someone that they would help you with your needs as long as you connected to them. But we also carry our own thought forms. And we then can say, well, that thought form came from my mother or my father or my ancestors. In other words, that was their thinking. But the fact of the matter is that we only carry a thought form because it's already in us. In other words, we carry that thought from maybe other lives or within us deep inside. And we literally attract into our life either people who resonate with that thought form or energies from the collective unconscious that do. And that's what I know happens. For instance, if I feel that I'm not good enough and I'm always thinking about that, there's literally a thought form that's in the collective unconscious that will say, I'll help you to feel better about yourself. But it comes with a commitment to not let me go. So the more we feel down on ourselves, it's not usually when we feel good about ourselves, but when we're saying, I'm only good if I can do something useful, I can only do something or something, I'm pulling in energy from outside me to feel good about myself. We tend to then get attachments, which could be personal. In other words, as I say, they could be a contract with another soul, or it could be from a family. But more often, it's just a thought form. And it can cause us to lose our way. So the more focused I am on whatever, beating up on myself or not feeling good enough about myself, this energy will override this centering that I'm been talking about. We can get distracted and we'll say, why am I not going along with the things that I enjoy? It's because that energy has a greater hold than allowing us to enjoy ourselves. So we may well say, okay, I want to get rid of that energy. And the way I'm suggesting you let you get rid of that energy is not by going after it, but by centering yourself, be it by doing what I'm suggesting, which is every hour, come back to your center. Empty yourself. Empty your mind, empty your thoughts, empty your need for knowing about the future or the past. Come back into your center, into the now. And that literally starts to disintegrate the attachments you've had. So my suggestion is not necessarily going and looking for that attachment, because the more time we spend looking for it, the more energy we're giving. I'm saying, let go, bring us back to the center, be in your center, and you'll find you spend less time in the future and the past. So, my dear friends, I hope this is helping you in a way of freeing our minds. Our minds are extremely active, of course. I could say your center is in your heart, coming back to your heart. But our minds are very tricky. And sometimes they are like little gremlins that we try and chase them, we can't find them. Or they're like slippery eels, as I sometimes say. I'm suggesting, rather than looking for them, expose them by coming into your center, coming into your heart. Because every time you come in the present, you come into the now. You not only see an ocean of possibilities awaiting you, but you also show up the parts of you that are not willing to play that game anymore, that are still trying to distract you. And you're saying, I'm not willing to play that game anymore. And I hope that globally, the more we come into our center, the more we stay present, the more those things that are being done on a global level that are beneath the surface, that are influencing our minds on a subconscious or subliminal level, are exposed. And I can tell you, the more you come into your center and live from that place, the less time and energy you'll give to those thoughts. And those thoughts are working on a really low frequency, my friends. So the more you come into your center, the more you're opening your frequency, expanding your frequency to say, I'm not giving time for that anymore. There we go, my friends. Love and blessings to you all. And wherever you are, enjoy this time, because we are truly going into the time where we are freeing our minds and living from our hearts. Love to you all now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.